and amen. We're turning in our Bible to that passage we read together in John chapter 3. And with our Bibles open before God, shall we bow for a word in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for those words we've been singing. Only a sinner saved by grace. And that's all our boast, love. For Lord, if we left our own devices, if we left to go on the broad road, we might have even been in a lost eternity tonight. But, O Lord, we do thank you that we can say like the hymn writer of old, as I pass my Saviour by, his love lay hold in me. And we do thank you, Lord, for that, and we do praise you for it. And we come before thee now, and we pray for this meeting. And Lord, thou knowest those here in tonight without Christ. And Lord, we pray for them, Lord, that thou will lay hold on them, and that thou will speak to them, and that thou will save them, Lord, by thy grace. Lord, this is why we're here tonight. And we do pray, as we do preach, the word of God will have free course and be glorified. Fill us now with thy Holy Spirit. Anoint us to preach, and may we speak well of Jesus. Amen and amen. Our text tonight is verse 16 of the passage we read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is probably one of the most well-known verses in all the Bible. Perhaps we're here tonight and we don't remember hardly the first time we heard this verse. It may have been at our mother and father's knee. As a child, they taught us this. Or in a Sunday school class, or in a children's meeting, we first heard John 3 and 16. And this verse had been used of God to bring many, many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words, of course, were first spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to a man called Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a religious Jew, a ruler of the people. And he came to the Lord Jesus one night to talk about his miracles. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. But the Lord Jesus Christ told him plainly, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was in darkness. He hadn't a clue what the Lord was talking about. He was religious, but lost. He could think well of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was still lost. And he was a leader of Israel, but he was lost. But the Lord Jesus Christ took him to the cross and said these words, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In our verse tonight, there are five things about salvation we want to look at. First of all, we have a wonderful love, for God so loved the world. Now, this was something new to Nicodemus. Nicodemus knew God loved Israel. He had proved this in the past. He had entered into the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be their God. He delivered Israel from slavery and bondage in Egypt. And God gave them his laws and his statutes and his testimonies. And they were his peculiar people. So they were. And he brought them into the promised land. And he was their God. and they were his people. Yes, God loved Israel, but now he hears that God loves the world. But God does love the world, so we know. This is borne out in the Great Commission. Jesus said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Christ wanted all nations and people to hear the gospel, the good news. And this will be seen when we all get to heaven. Over there in the book of Revelation, in chapter 7, in verse 9, we read these words. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude that no man could number, out of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And you see, they're in heaven, and there's a great multitude that no man can number, out of every tribe and tongue and nation under this earth. Yes, friend, God loves the world. So he does. Even though this world is sinful and wicked, even though this world does not love him, God loves the world. He hates our sin, but he loves our soul. And he loves you tonight, friend. If you're here without Christ, he hates your sin, but he loves your soul. He says in his word, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye, oh, why will ye die, O house of Israel? The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You're not saved tonight, friend. There's a God who loves you, and he wants to save you, and he wants to take you to heaven. And then we have a matchless gift, that he gave his only begotten Son. The Apostle Paul, speaking about that, said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This was indeed a matchless gift, an unspeakable gift. When we think of whom this gift was, this was God's only begotten Son, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son and the Son of God, the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God, King of kings and Lord of lords. And for what he gave him? To leave the realms of glory and to come in to this dark, wicked world of sin. To live amongst sinful, wicked men, hearing their blasphemies and seeing their sin. To be betrayed to his enemies. To be mocked, beaten, and scourged. You think they put a crown of thorns on his lovely brow and said, hail, King of the Jews. And they scourged him with an instrument like a cat with nine tails, with wire and nails, and left his back like a ploughed field. And then to die by crucifixion, the cruelest death that anyone could die. When you nail someone to the cross and leave them hanging there for days in agony, must be the cruelest thing of all. And then to bear our sin on his own body in the tree, to die there for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and to pay the price of our redemption, of our sins, and to shed his precious blood for our sin. The hymn writer said, "Was there a gift like the Saviour given? No, not one. No, not one. But for whom did he give him? He gave him for sinners, for those people who reject him and have no time for him. In Isaiah it says, all we like sheep had gone astray. We turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, we read these words. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, beloved, tonight, Christ died for you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're without Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. He bore your sin on his own body in the tree. And he died for you, the just for the unjust, to bring you to God. Friend, he's a wonderful Saviour. We recommend him. And then there's a simple way, that whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever believeth in him. And we have the scope of the way. It's whosoever. Whosoever means you tonight, friend. That means me. That means no matter who you are or what you are, whosoever means you. You, all colours, creeds, countries are here included. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The simplest of the way is believing. Believing means receiving. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "I do believe in Jesus. I do believe he's the Son of God. I do believe he came into this world and he was born of Mary. I do believe he has a sinless life and he went about doing good. I do believe he went to the cross and died and he rose again. I believe all of that." But friend, if you believe all of that with your head, that's not good enough. You see, believing in the Bible means receiving. In chapter 1 of John's Gospel, in verse 12, we read these words. Chapter 1 and verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." In the Bible, believing means receiving. Receiving Christ into your heart and into your life. Over in Romans chapter 10, we read these words. Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10. It says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Friend, you must receive Christ by faith into your heart and into your life if you're going to be in heaven. That's what you must do tonight. Receive Christ as your own and personal Saviour. And then there's here a divine certainty. Shall not perish. That means, friend, should not be lost or go to hell. If you're not saved tonight, and that's what will happen, you will go to hell. You will go to a lost eternity, to a lost sinner's hell. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to some Pharisees and some scribes one day, and he said, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whither I am, ye cannot be. He was telling them his ministry was coming to an end. He would soon go back to his Father's house, to heaven. They die in their sin. They wouldn't be there. And there's only one other place they would be, and that's in a lost sinner's hell. Friend, that's the same with you tonight. If you die in your sin, if you die without Christ, you will be in a lost sinner's hell. Christ spoke about hell 13 times. He spoke once about heaven. The Bible speaks more of God's wrath than God's love. So it does. Amen. But if you believe in Christ and receive him, that won't happen. You won't go to hell. Instead of being lost, you'll be found. And instead of going to hell, you'll be going to heaven to be with Christ. The hymn writer said, amazing grace, how can it be? Amazing. Oh, forget about it. I've lost myself. But that's what will happen, friend. You'll die in your sin. But if you trust Christ, you will go to heaven. You will go home to be with him. And that's a wonderful thing to know. And then last of all, a great possession. Have everlasting life. It does not say may have, but it does, or might have, but shall have everlasting life. Everlasting life is a present possession, so it is. You can be saved tonight. You can know you're saved. You can know it's well with your soul. And this brings great peace, so it is. It brings peace for life, so it is. The Bible speaks about the peace of God shed abroad in our hearts, so it is. Over there in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Friend, you can have peace with God tonight, and you can have the peace of God shed abroad in your heart. And this is peace for life. No matter what trial comes along, no matter what darkened day is, you will know you'll have the peace of God in your heart, and the Lord will be with you. And then it's peace for death. When you're saved, you can look at death and say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The psalmist said there, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. It's only the child of God, only one who's saved, can say such things. And it's peace for all of God's eternity. So it is. You'll know it's well with your soul. Friend, tonight you come to Christ and be saved. The Christian life is the best life, so it is. You'll never regret getting saved. I got saved over 40 years ago. I've never regretted it. I'm only sorry I didn't get saved sooner. I wasted my teenage years. The Christian life is the best life. And you'll never regret it in death. And you'll never regret it in eternity. But, oh, friend, if you don't come to Christ. Well, it mightn't make much difference to your life, but one thing, you regret it in death, and you regret it in eternity, but it'll be too late. You come tonight, receive Christ as your Saviour, and you'll never regret it. May God bless you. May God save you by His matchless grace. We have a closing hymn, 215. 215. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found.